Bless you. You can be able to sit down now if you want to, and let's get into this thing. Open up your Bibles with me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, Jesus is here and he comes to John. John's out baptizing. And of course, John was the forerunner to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't really recognized and known until John pointed him out. You read in another gospel where he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." But the thing I want to kind of bring out about this one is, I want you to notice that Jesus says to John, you know, John says, you know, you're coming to me, I need to be baptized you. But John, Jesus says, you know, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What the Lord Jesus was saying here was, we have to feel and do what the will of God is. Not what we think, but what God says. You know, in John chapter 4, verse 34, it says this, "Jesus saith to them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Notice that. So the Lord Jesus, what I want to try to bring out in the next little bit, is the fact that the Lord Jesus came to this earth to do the will of the Father. That was his purpose in coming to the earth, was to fulfill the work of the Father, to fulfill the will of the Father. In John 5:19, here's some what Jesus said. It says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm only going to do what my Father tells me to do, what I see him do, that's the things I'll do, because I know that's the will of God. You see, when you know what God wants, then you do what God wants, then you're fulfilling the will of God. In John chapter 5, verse 30, here's what he says. He says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Notice it. He said, I don't do my own will. I'm doing the will of the Father that sent me. Can I tell you that once we surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about us doing our will, but it's about us doing the will of the Father, doing the will of God. Now, for Jesus, doing the will of the Father meant that Jesus would sacrifice his life for all mankind. That would be the will of the Father. You say, well, you know, I don't know about that. Well, listen to what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord Jesus came to give his life so that you and I, who were born with this sin nature, would have a way for us to be able to go to heaven. He came to be the supreme sacrifice for you and I. We talked a little bit Sunday about the fact that before Jesus came, how animals were killed and the blood of the animals was used to, it was sprinkled on the altar, and the priest would go in and make intercession for the people, sprinkle the blood on there, but it only covered their sins for a year. The Lord Jesus Christ came so that he would bleed and die for us, take his own blood, go into the heavenly of Holy of Holies, sprinkle the heavenly altar with his blood, and it would be a sacrifice for sin forever, forever, for every person that would ever live up on this earth again. So the Lord Jesus knew that His purpose was to do the will of the Father, and He knew that His purpose would be to die on the cross. Now, this is a Wednesday afternoon. We believe this is the night that Jesus was crucified, even though we know and understand that the world, they see it differently. But again, we talked about it on Sunday, how you can't get 3 days and nights from Friday through Sunday. So you have to back up and look at the times, look at the Jewish calendar, and then measure out the days and the nights that the Lord Jesus was in the heart of the earth like He said He would be, because God cannot lie, His Word cannot lie. So we have to see where we're in error and make sure we get that straightened out. But I want to show you something here, though. God did not make Jesus do His will. You see that? I mean, you can see it. You can see it in Scripture, and I'm going to show it to you just in a minute here. But Jesus chose to do it. He chose to do it. Go with me to John chapter 10. I'll show you. I'll prove it to you in Scripture here. God did not make Him. John chapter 10. Look at verse 14 here. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know My sheep, and am known of Mine. As the Father knoweth Me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down My life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear My voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I laid down My life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received, that the Father gave it into My choice when I lay My life down, when it's taken back up again. He said, I've been given the choice to be able to choose whether to do the will of the Father or not. We've talked about it many times, how Jesus prayed in the garden. You know, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from Me, but not My will, Your will be done. So Jesus wanted to make sure that He was doing the will of the Father. Here He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. How many knows the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd? Praise God. He's our shepherd. He always protects His sheep. Amen. Now, what does this mean really for all of us, though, when we're talking about doing, choosing the will of the Lord? Well, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was God's plan to bring salvation to the world. Okay? That was a way for you and I to escape hell and live with Him in heaven through and by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, it is the will of the Father for us to go to heaven. Every person born upon this earth, it is the will of the Father for them to go to heaven. Now, I understand that not everybody goes to heaven, but it is God's will. I'm going to show you in Scripture once again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all would come to repentance. So, repent. Now, everybody don't. And it's sad that everybody don't, because Jesus gave His life so everybody could go to heaven. But some people choose not to accept His sacrifice. Now, here's what I want to say about that. God still, right now, is giving you the same choice as He did Jesus, whether or not to do His will. Amen. He's giving you that choice. What do you mean? Well, I'm telling you that when we choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we're choosing heaven, and that's the will of God. But Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're not doing the will of God, and there's a penalty for that. And hell's that penalty. Hell wasn't prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But God has a will, and He wants us to do His will, and His will is for us to go to heaven. Now, when we choose the Word of God, then we're doing the will of God. Do you know that? Because God's Word is God's will. A lot of folks don't understand that, but what God says in His Word, that's what God's will is. It's not what we think about it. It's not our opinion about it, what we believe about it, but what does the Word say? End of heaven. And so that is the will of earth's life. Now, they can either choose to follow that Word, or they can choose to reject that Word. But either case, it doesn't change the word. God's word is settled. And so it would behoove us to make sure that we're doing the will of God by getting into the Word of God. Now, jump over here with me to James, and let me show you something over here. James chapter 1, look at verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers your own selves." Now, I got to stop right there for just a second, because this kind of just jumped off at me. As many times as I've used this, notice this, that he, basically what James is saying here is that you can deceive yourself just by being a hearer or knowing what the Word says, but not doing it. And there's a lot of folks that do that. They've heard the Word. They know the Word. The Word's been preached, and, you know, they say they have the Word. But if you're not doing the Word, here James is implicating that you are deceiving yourself. Amen. See what he's saying there. You know, if you're claiming the Word and claiming Jesus and claiming Him in your life, but you're not doing what He says, then you're deceiving yourself. Jesus said, "Don't call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say to do." Amen. And a lot of folks are deceived just because that they, you know, that, well, I know what the Bible says about this. I know what the Bible says about that. Yes, but are you doing what it says about this? Or are you doing what it says about that? James says, be doers of the Word. Look at verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," let's just pause there for a second, "and continueth therein," it's one thing to look, it's another thing to continue therein. In other words, it's one thing to start this journey, but it's another thing to continue this journey. Do you realize, you know, if you decide you want to take a trip and you say, "All right, we're going to go on vacation," and, you know, you get everything prepared, you make reservations, say down south somewhere, you know, and you've got it all planned out, all the things that you're going to do down there, and you get in the car and you never drive out of the city limits, how many knows you'll never get to that destination? Now, you started, you had all the plans and all that was there, but you never continued. And if you don't continue, you'll never make it to your destination. And people need to understand that when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to living for God, this is not a thing that you just start and then you just don't do anything else. No, no. You continue therein. Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And see, so when we see this thing, we got to continue it in. Whoever looks into the perfect law, who looks into the Word, continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice that. Doing the Word brings blessing to your life. Amen. We've understood that. Most of us we've experienced the Word working in our life. We've watched how God is blessed because we kept His Word and did His Word and kept His commandments, doing our best to keep His perfect will. Right? Amen. We've seen the blessing of that. Jump over here with me to the Psalm 119. Let me show you a scripture here. Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 9 here. Psalm 119. It says, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." In other words, he's saying this: if you want to live a clean life, get a hold of the word. You want to live a pure life, get a hold of the word. You want to be a righteous person, get a hold of the word, right? That's what he's saying this. He goes on and says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Let me not wander. See, that shows you that you can wander away from the will of God. We see this. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Notice, I mean, his whole desire, the writer of the psalm, his whole desire is to make sure that he keeps the word in his heart and that God keeps reminding of his word, him of his word. See, here's the thing. Without the strength of the word, we could end up sinning against God. Amen. If you don't keep the word in your heart and you don't keep the word present in your mind, you don't keep the word present in your life, you're going to mess up. You will mess up. If God's not first in your life, you will mess up. You might think you can live this life without Him, but you can't. And you can't live this life without the word. Amen. You can't go on people's opinions of the word. You have to know what the word says and live your life by that. Now, notice this. He's talking about some here that have erred from the commandment. In other words, they've left the commandment. Well, what did he say about them? He said they were cursed. They were cursed because they had left his commandments. See, you've got a choice. The word will bring blessing, but departing from the word will put you in a cursed place. Right? Remember, I mean, you go over and look in Malachi chapter 3 when the Lord's talking about the tithes. He's talking to the children of Israel there, and he said, you've departed from my commandments, and he said, you're cursed with a curse. And then he says, return unto me. Return. What do you mean? He said, get away, get yourself out of that, repent, and get back in line. You see, that's the wonderful thing about the mercies of God is this, is when we do mess up, God is right there for us to ask Him to forgive us, and guess what He'll say? Yes, every time. Yes, every time that we mess up, God will say yes. Now, notice here that He says, deal bountifully with me. What's that mean? Well, that means when I'm doing the words, He said, deal bountifully because I've kept your testimonies. I've kept your word. Listen, when you do the word of God, you can expect to receive from the word of God what He says you can have. Now, doesn't matter what any preacher said, don't matter what church said, don't matter what anybody said. What's the word say? Well, the word says when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll grant us the desires of our heart, right? The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow there with it. Amen. See, so the Word of God, keeping the Word of God brings blessing. Departing from the Word of God can put you under a curse. See, if you don't know the Word about being blessed, then you got to understand that you're naturally going to progressively head toward the curse because you don't understand that God's will is to bless you. God's will is for you to live an abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So He wants us living this blessed life. Now, Jesus literally had to sacrifice His life for us. He literally He had to give His physical life for us. You know what now? It's our turn. It's our turn. Now, thank God we don't have to go to a cross and be hung on it. We go to the cross that He was hung on, and we believe that He died on that cross, was placed in the tomb on the third day, rose again. And if we believe that and confess Him as Lord, then we are saved, the Bible says. That's how we receive salvation. But Jesus literally had to give His life so that we would be able to do that. But there is something that's required of us. And I want to show you that there's sacrifice that's required of us. Jump over here with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1 here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus literally had to give His body. You and I offer up a living sacrifice for God. You say, well, what in the world is a living sacrifice? It's a life lived for God, sacrificing our old life, the one we came out of, and taking upon us the new life that God has given us. You see, and showing that before the world, bringing that before God and say, you know, David would say, search me, O God, and know my ways. He would talk about God. You look at me. You examine me. You see, when the Lord examines us, He ought to see somebody that's doing the will of God. Our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God sees us, He should see us living that life. And I'm going to tell you something. When the world sees you, they ought to see you living that life. When you're living that life, no matter what anybody thinks about you or says about you or whatever, they doesn't matter. You see, because you know you're living for God, you know you're doing the will of God, and God's on your side. Amen. So he goes on then in verse 2 and says this, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, you know, when the church starts acting like the world, then you got a problem. This is part of our duty. This is part of our sacrifice. We don't conform to the world. We don't act like the world. We don't do what the world does the way the world does it. Amen. That doesn't mean you can't do things in the world. You just don't do it the way the world does. Amen. You see. And so he goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, that when you get born again, your spirit man gets made new. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You have to renew your soulish area, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you have to renew that area through and by the Word of God. So you have to change the way you think. You can't think like you used to think in the world. You can't talk like you used to do in the world. You can't let your emotions control you like they did when you was in the world. You see, once you become a child of God, it's not about emotions. It's about the truth of the Word of God. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just don't feel like this, or I just don't feel like that. You know, it don't matter. It's not about feelings. It's about what does God say. And if God said it, it's settled, and you can trust it. Praise God. He'll do what He said. He keeps His Word. He watches over His Word to hasten it. And so here he says, you know, we cannot conform to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we think different, we talk different, we act different, right? Well, so why do we do that? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, just like Jesus did the will of God, and that's all he did was what the will of God was for him, then you and I are the same way. We have to make sacrifices sometimes. Come on, your flesh wants to do one thing, but the Holy Ghost on the inside of you says, oh no, you can't do that. Come on now. That old man tries to rise up sometimes, and you know, these thoughts are going through your mind. You know what you want to say, what you want to do and all that. But the Holy Ghost on the inside of you says, quench it, stop it. You know, if you listen to the spirit man, I'm telling you, he'll lead and guide you in the right direction. You see. And so our job as the children of God is to just present ourselves before God and say, God, we belong to you. And that's what the Bible teaches. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. A lot of folks say, well, I can just do what I want to do. Not if you're going to let Jesus be your Lord, you can't. And you can't just say what you want to say, act how you want to act. No, you have to do, say, and act and talk like He says to do. That's the will of the Father. And I know a lot of people don't want to do that, and that's why people don't walk as close to God as they should. They'd rather do their thing as to do God's thing. And I promise you, Dick, God's thing will always bring blessing to your life. God will always be. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the age. You know what that means? That means we can't ever leave Him or forsake Him. We've got to stay with Him. The Bible says for us to keep ourselves in the love of God. And so as we're offering ourselves to God, renewing our minds, staying away from the world, then we're proving out the perfect will of God in our life. But it's up to us just to choose that. You have to choose to die out to your old life. You have to choose to accept the new life that you've gotten through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, by making Him your Savior. And then you've got to choose to renew your mind through and by the Word of God, and then live that Word of God. All that is choices that God gives us. You see, He created us with a free will. A will to choose what we do. And we have to make up our minds whether we're going to choose to do the will of God and go to heaven, or turn away from God and not do His will and go to hell. Isn't that amazing? It's not a hard choice, right? Over in Deuteronomy, God says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. And then He goes ahead and He says, choose life so that you and your children can live. See, it's set before us now. There's a choice to be made. We can choose to do the will of God. We can choose life, or we can choose death. We can choose blessing, or we can choose cursing. But one or the other is going to prevail in our life. And what will prevail in our life is what we choose to do. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to choose to do the will of God. Amen. Because we've found that He's blessed us time and time and time again for doing His will. Always has, always will. And He do the same thing for you. Amen. All right. I'm going to quit right there. I just want us to understand and know that we are to do the will of God and make sure that His will is being done in our life. Praise God. Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, bless You, praise You, honor You, God. You are our God. And Father God, as we follow Your will, follow Your word, I thank You, Father God, is bringing all the benefits of the word into our life. I thank You for Your favor, for Your blessing. Thank You, Father God, for prosperity upon this people. Father, thank You, God, Lord, that You're bringing all the good things to us, Father God, and we receive them because You've already said yes to those.